Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
What's it like to see the moment, to feel yourself growing? This is greatness that I'm showing. Close your eyes, I'm still glowing. Close the door, I'm still going. This is grand business. Have a seat and be a witness. Hey, what's it like?
It's about that time. Strictly Hoops is hitting the airwaves once again. Welcome, CJ, to another episode. How you doing, sir?
I'm good. I mean, you know. Yeah. I can't complain. Push all the buttons, subscribe, and all the other good stuff, all that other stuff. You know, we ain't got to say that every Thursday.
Yeah, every single Thursday you can find a Strictly Hoops episode, but we won't always have a very special guest. And today we got a very, very special guest. CJ, will you please introduce a man?
The man, the myth, the legend, the returner. Leave, go get some knowledge, come back so I can help y'all type thing. You know, my man, Jakob Poeltl, you know, my big fella. What's going on, man?
How you doing?
I'm good.
Appreciate you guys having me.
Yeah, man, we appreciate you.
How was CJ a good vet to you?
Sheesh.
Like, let's start there.
Man, it's about him.
Starting off right, huh? No, CJ was a great vet. CJ was the guy for us. Like, we had a bunch of young guys coming off the bench trying to vibe, and CJ was that. He was kind of like the glue guy, the veteran guy off the bench, like trying to help us play the right way. So yeah, I think us as a group learned a lot from CJ, and he really helped us excel right there.
That's cool. CJ, your first impressions of Yak, I want to get you guys talking more than me, because you guys got the special connection in this conversation.
So first of all, clarify, I was only that in the beginning, like the first couple weeks, like just until those guys got used to like what was going on, right? Because they were all coming into their own right. Like, I just was the one that was screaming at everybody to shoot. Like, that was pretty much all I was doing. I was telling everybody to go and shoot. And then we, like, obviously, we turned into something. I will say this, we did not know we were going to be what we were in the beginning. Like, when we got there, because when I showed up late. So a lot of people don't know this. Like, I didn't meet everybody till media day. Like, I usually get to camp like a month before, or I try to get there a month before, like 2-3 weeks before. So obviously everybody knows we were having a kid. We had Ava that year. Everybody knows Ava. Ava's more famous than me in Toronto. And then so we had a baby shower, and my parents had a car accident coming to the baby shower. So I ended up not getting there, just staying home and making sure everybody was good. It was like everybody ended up being okay, but it was, you know, it was a lot going on. It was a bad accident. Some stuff happened, but it wasn't anything too crazy, not to get into detail. But so I get there late, and we kind of have to form everything to start a camp. Like, we take pictures, shake hands, and then we leave. Like, that's how it starts.
Yeah. It's funny, like, how guys that get together, how they interact with each other. And I mean, your impressions of Yak right off, or of CJ right off the bat, Yak, like, what was the first interaction? Do you remember that?
For me with CJ, or?
Yeah. Yeah.
Which one? Yeah. I don't know. You go first, Yak. Go ahead.
Oh, man, I don't remember, to be honest. I don't even remember that part of you showing up late. Like, to me, I just, like, the main things I remember from that season is, like, it's such a learning curve for me, and then for us as a team, I guess, like, that, like, young group that we always talk about from that team. But especially for me, what I remember the most, like, for me as a screen setting big, like, playing with CJ, like, playing with just, like, a straight shooter like that, that was the first time I actually, like, had to think about a lot of different things that are just, like, second nature now, I guess. But just, like, because we would be involved in so much, like, that two-man game, right? Screen away, like, right, slip out, like, hit the roller out of that, like, these kind of, like, basic NBA actions. Like, I wasn't used to that. I didn't have a whole lot of playing time. my first year in the NBA. So like, there's so much learning there that I look back on. It's like, yeah, that was really the first one where I'm like, yeah, that's the go-to guy. Like, I'm going to try and look for this guy to set a screen on him, like whenever I get a chance to, because he'll let it fly.
and just to the point, like we knew like the attention that it would bring, right? If we got into it early, sure. If we got into it with speed, so we knew we could get you layups and dunks and slip outs and all the stuff you were talking about. Yeah. So it'd be like, it would be times I'd be running down the court screaming Yach's name at half court. Like, just not even not even so much all the time for me to shoot it, but just for the fact of what it would do. Like in the beginning, yes, I was getting shots because but as the season progressed and everybody saw what we could do out of things, like it opened up so many things for us. As far as the first interaction, I don't remember either. I remember us, we got to training camp, but a lot of vets showed up later in Toronto, obviously because it was coming to Canada. There was a lot of stuff to deal with. Guys were in and out. They didn't stay as much. So it was different than other places I had been. So maybe that's why it didn't really strike a thing for me to get there 2 days before or a day before. I had one workout and we took pictures the next day and we were out. Right.
True.
Good times though.
It really was.
Before we backtrack pretty far actually in your basketball career, I want to look at yesterday for one quick second, because obviously the game was incredible, but what was your first impression of Victor Wembanyama? Like when you were up against him, tip off, were you just like, wow, this guy is huge? Like, did anything shock you about the experience of going against him?
I mean, I think we pretty much knew. Like, he's been talked about so much, like to begin the season, like even last year when like all the hype leading up to the draft and all this stuff. But I mean, he's really impressive. Like there's certain things, like I even said before the game, like I know there's guys out there that are going to change things on the court, but you still want to stick to what you do. You want to stick to your like game plan and like not let that affect too much. But he really changed the game for them when he's on the court. Like you cannot get an easy layup at any times. Like he might come flying from somewhere. There's just nothing you can do sometimes. So like there's definitely been some moments in that game where I was like, yeah, that's impressive. Like you gotta give the flowers where they're due. Like especially for him being in the league for such a short time and already having such an impact is pretty special.
And that was the thing, right? You knew right away if it was anything he was gonna be able to do, he would change stuff defensively. Just cause the length and mobility, sure. Right? He didn't you wouldn't have to. Like offensively, being able to shoot, being able to dribble, all that stuff comes with time. Offense, you can grow into that skill set. Guys can like be physical with you, but like on defense, the ground he can cover and the length, you can't teach that. So
for sure.
that was gonna be the niche from the beginning, right? You knew right away. Look for him when you turn the corner because he's somewhere around. He's gonna get there, right?
For sure. That's,
it's good to hear. Like everybody noticed it, but it is like you said, it's incredible to see him making the progress he's making so early.
Yeah. There was a play yesterday where it's like, I think I caught the ball somewhere close to the paint. Like he was like 3 feet off me, might even be more. He wasn't even looking my way. I thought I could get like a quick floater in, just scoop it up. Like,
no. That possession where he blocked Otto and Dennis from three in the same possession within like 5 seconds of each other. I was like, wow. Whoa, what?
So that's the stat I want to see at the end of the year. I want to know how many three-pointers he blocks. That's my interesting stat. And I want to know how much more he's done it than anybody else, right? Because he's going to set – if you look at it, it's going to be a record for it. He's going to have the most. He's going to have the most because people keep trying to try him. And thinking they can sneak him off because his hands are down, and he's like tipping them and blocking them, and like I want to know that.
You gotta shoot it. You're open. Like he's like 7 feet off you.
You're technically.
Like, I gotta shoot this. Like there's no.
Yeah.
He just comes flying at you.
Imagine it's, being open and you're wild. Not
he's
right.
Change some things.
Being open and you're not is crazy.
It was weird for me. It was my first game back in San Antonio, so Like just walking through the halls, like going the wrong way, and
I
didn't even know where the locker room was. Like, I, was
been
just
there,
like,
done
I felt like,
yeah,
felt like rookie that. Year again. Like, yeah.
The tribute was cool. Really, they gave you, right?
Yeah, it was cool. Yeah,
That's cool.
It's fun to see that. Like, I didn't realize how long I was in San Antonio until I really like consciously thought about it. Like, I was like there for 5 years, which is like
it flew by.
way bigger part of my NBA career realistically than Toronto was. So yeah, it was fun to look back at that. Definitely. Got good memories for that spot.
Five years. I only saw Yak
San Antonio.
I only saw Yak outside this one time out of the 5 years that he was here. I only saw you one time outside.
Can you describe to me the Flava Flav looking necklace clock thing that players are getting after games?
I mean, if you've ever seen any picture of me, like pregame, like postgame, whatever, you'll know that I have no idea what's going on there. Like, I mean, I think it's a new thing that the coach is trying to bring in, like just like a little bit of like a man of the match type thing, like somebody that has had like a big impact on the game. So for example, yesterday it would have been Scotty. Like Scotty really turned it up in the second half. Like we were down big and he willed us back in the game. Like in general, like that second unit that came in like towards the middle of the third, I guess, like really, really pushed for us to make that comeback. So yeah, I think it's one of those things where you just want to show some appreciation for somebody that did something like to help us win that game.
I think those things are cool too, to have those for your team, like
For sure.
To be able to really build confidence and build like camaraderie, like guys being able to come together and cheer for a guy and like showing recognition of what the guy did for us. Like I remember my second year, we had the WWE belt or WWF belt in training camp. We didn't use it all year, but we had that for like certain things, guys winning games, guys doing this, whatever, and guys would leave out with it. And that was really cool, especially in camp, because you know everybody, camp gets tedious. So you try to find ways to just try to keep it exciting and keep guys engaged even more so, especially when like us, we would be together three times during the summer for a couple weeks at a time. Guys are with each other every day. Like by the time you get to camp, it's like we're doing this again, you know? So you need something new.
Yeah, it's fun to mix it up a little bit.
For sure.
Is it heavy?
I haven't worn it yet, so you gotta ask me.
It's coming.
It's definitely coming.
I have one of those games.
I can name a game.
You might have to talk to Darko about it.
Maybe I will.
About him not getting it yet, or about if it's heavy? Which one are we talking to Darko about?
Giving it to
both.
Okay.
Me, so I can tell you guys.
Okay. I'm just checking. Yeah.
You've mentioned in the past that you got some tips and tricks from Tim Duncan when you were with San Antonio and he was an assistant there. I'm not sure if he actually still is, but regardless, some of those tips and tricks, anything that sticks out, anything that was very profound that helped you?
I mean, for me, like, I feel like I'm the type of player, I learned the most just from playing experience in general, like the things you learn when you're actually on the basketball court. Like I've never been a guy that like goes into a one-on-one workout and like learns this new move that's going to change the game for me. Like that's really not the type of player I am. So for me to be able to go up against him in practice, like he'd guard me, like I'd guard him. Like we weren't like fully playing live one-on-one basketball, but just the little things he'd do, even in like a pregame warm-up or stuff like that, like where he'd hold me to a certain spot. Like I feel like I couldn't move all of a sudden. I'm like, huh, like just going up against that, like on a daily basis, it's almost like having Tim as like a practice partner. Like it's, I think things like that are what helped me.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Most where like I can now incorporate that in my game, like there might be a possession here or there where I can get away with something on the court that, you know, like might not be exactly within the rules, but like you just get away with stuff like that.
Don't tell him, Tim has the
experience to know when to do that, when not to do it. And I think those are the things that I took away the most. Obviously, apart from that, like so many other things we've worked on, like just like the skill set, like the individual work that we put in, like really helped me. But those little things are what I appreciated the most, to be honest.
Anything, CJ? Do you have a player that in your career? It was Derek Fisher, right? Ooh. Wasn't it Derek Fisher for you in Utah?
Derek Fisher was the first person, like, it was a similar thing. Like, just kind of watching. I was the same way. Like, it wasn't like he was saying. It was just seeing him and being around him every day. Like, just seeing the stuff he did. And then you know the stuff he's done. So anything you watch, it's like a little kid watching, like, the older brother or their uncle or their dad do something, right? It's like, he's been doing this forever. So whatever he's doing clearly works, right? Yeah. So, like, you just kind of take it that kind of way, right? And Derek Fisher, like, I told you the story. I came in the gym one day, and I just remember never hearing a basketball dribble that hard in my life. Like, I walked in, and he was doing a two-ball machine, and I just remember hearing, I've never heard it that fast and that hard ever in my life. And I just sat and watched him. And it was like on a Sunday night. I was usually the only person that would ever be there. And I just watched him. Like, just watched him. And then from that day, I watched him every day. And like he said, we'd be in shoot around, practice, whatever, when we scrimmage, whatever he did, I kind of take that. Did the same thing with Kyle Korver. Did the same thing with Andre Kirilenko. Like, just kept picking up stuff from guys that had success. And he got to go from Tim Duncan. So, like, that name is, like, you know, that's top of the totem pole type stuff right there.
Yeah, that's a good person to learn from, for sure.
No kidding. We're going to go really far back here. And I want to ask you about your Austrian roots, because I believe on October 26, 2016, you became the first Austrian-born player to ever play in an NBA game. First off, really? Kudos.
I didn't know that. That's crazy. Yeah.
Very, very cool stuff.
You're putting applause in there.
Yeah, applauso. So are you essentially the Franz Klammer of Austrian basketball?
You know who that is, CJ?
I have no idea.
In a way, yes, sure, you could say that, but also absolutely not, because people in Austria really, really care about skiing, and they really don't care that much about basketball. So even though I am the first Austrian NBA player ever, basketball just doesn't really have that standing in Austria. So I can still fly under the radar a good amount. Like, people know who I am. Like, I'll get recognized, but it's not what you might think it is. Like, you think, like, he's the only person from this country to ever do it. Like, there's a reason, because, like, people just don't really play basketball like that in Austria.
They're skiing.
Yeah, they're skiing, they're playing soccer, they're doing other things.
But what we can say is that now the recognition that you bring will birth other guys. So that's the thing that it happens.
Yeah,
right? And then we'll get down the line, and then they'd be like, you know, this guy was the one that opened the door. So, you know, it just takes time.
You can see a little bit of development. Like, I mean, basketball is becoming more and more international anyway. But even like in a country like Austria, where I'd say we're pretty far behind some other European countries that really care about basketball, but you can see the movement. And like you just said, like, I'm just trying to do my little things. Like, first of all, yeah, playing in NBA, like, the recognition obviously helps, but then, like, having these basketball camps, like, just doing little things I can within Austrian basketball community to, like, help push it along a little bit more.
It's also another tool for community, right? It's another thing you could do to help bring people together, to just have people together in peace and in harmony and spread light and love. It doesn't always have to be just about the game, right? Yes, it is, and it helps you, but, like, it's another tool because of what you've been able to do with it, that you can help your city, help your town, help your parents, your uncles, your cousins, everybody can have something to do with that, and you can just take it through the city.
So you are still doing the camps, right?
Yeah, yes, I am. Like, this past summer, we had some issues with the gym that we usually use. So, like, we had to skip a year, but we're already planning on having it set up for next year. So, I'm still doing the camps.
That's awesome, man. And both your parents were volleyball players.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I'm the only basketball player in my family.
So are you a good skier, and are you a good volleyball player?
I'm going to say yes, but I haven't been skiing since I was about 16. Like, they cut that off real quick. Like, as soon as I got to any type of, like, semi-professional level in basketball, they were like, nope, like, there's no more skiing. Like, I used to go every winter. Like, we'd go with the family. Like, that's just, it's basically something you do in Austria. Like, if you grow up in Austria, you grow up around mountains and stuff. Like, it's like kids in the U.S., like, going to play, like, hoops, like going to the streets, like shooting hoops and stuff like that. Like that's just, you'd like have like a little winter thing, like in you ski down the mountains. And volleyball, yeah, I still play volleyball. Like because my parents both play, like anytime we're on some sort of like family vacation, like when I'm with friends, like on the beach somewhere, there's like some beach volleyball set up. Like I try to play. Like I learned a little bit from my parents. Like they didn't let me leave the house without like no volleyball education. So yeah, I got a little something.
So here's this is the thought that's popping in my head. So you're in Austria, there's no basketball. There's nothing with skiing. Nobody in your family played basketball, and you end up being Jakob Pertl. Exactly. How does this happen?
I honestly, I don't know. Like, Vienna's a big city. Like, there's about, there's almost 2 million people living in Vienna. So there's still, like, it's just a small basketball community. Like, but there is basketball. And I was a really tall kid, so... Yeah. It was just one of those things where I was a kid with a lot of energy.
Who's a better question? Yeah. Who came and was like, hey, come play basketball? Like who, what was it? Somebody in your family coming, got you? A coach just saw you?
Yeah, it was my parents.
That's the question.
My parents, like I was this little kid. I was probably like in first grade, second grade, something like that. And they were like, well, you got too much energy. Like you got to go do something with it. So I tried all kinds of things, but like basketball was one of the first things I tried just because I was so tall and I just stuck with it. So it was never like a plan to go pro. Like it was never like a thing, like I want to become the next whoever or like be a professional basketball player in the NBA in Austria, wherever. Like it just kind of like, it was like one step in front of the other. Like one day I was in the spot where I was like, well, I can really do something with this.
That's the way it should be though. Should be one step. That's the way you should go about it. Like it makes you feel a certain way, you like it, it's good for you, you keep going, and then you just listen to it.
Sure.
Just a couple more minutes here. What does the name Andy Hill mean to you, Yak?
Andy Hill? He was the guy that, I'll say he's the guy that brought me to the States, that brought me to college in Utah. He's the first guy that recruited me out of Utah. Like there was a couple of like other small colleges that recruited me, but I'd say Utah was like the first one out of like a power conference, like a bigger school that showed real interest. And he even came to Austria to recruit me. And then our head coach came over to recruit me. So like they really like were invested in me like from an early point. I'm pretty sure he came and watched me at the European Championships, like play for the national team. So I'd say he's one of the biggest parts of like me kickstarting my U.S. basketball career. Like, and it really like, it went so fast from there, like going to college, like staying there, like really could have gone to the NBA after 1 year, decided to go for a second year. So yeah, that was crazy times.
I never asked you this question. I got to ask you this, so I got you. How did you like Salt Lake when you were there? I never asked you this before. I never thought about
it. To be honest, when I was there, like, we weren't in the city. Like, we're on campus. Like, we had, like, first year, we had our dorms. Like, we were doing our thing there. And then second year, like, we had a house off campus. But, like, we were still, we're doing, like, college stuff. Like, we were never downtown. Like, I wasn't old enough for the bars anyway. Like, if we were trying to have fun, we'd go to, like, parties and stuff. Like...
Same
like,
here.
We'd have our little house parties, like stuff like that. So we didn't even really need a city there. Like it could have been in the middle of nowhere. It would have been the same thing, you know?
Got you. Okay. Yeah. I got you. I just thought about that. I never asked you that.
Yeah.
We're going to wrap up in a few minutes. I was curious because I read that, you know, for you to watch NBA finals games, it was in the middle of the night, right? And so was there a particular, this is a question for both of you, was there a particular NBA finals that was, you know, one of the highlights of your childhood that made you fall in love with the game? Or was there one finals that, you know, just is cemented as a moment in your life?
You want to go first?
Do you know your CJ?
So I don't have it's not a finals, but just the memory of literally sitting 6 inches from the TV and hearing the dun 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 dun, like hearing Bob Costas and hearing that's cemented in my head. And like obviously seeing Michael Jordan. I was a huge Penny Hardaway, huge Grant Hill fan growing up, and just watching. I remember just being enamored with the showmanship to get to the game, right? I was already in love with the game, but seeing just the whole thing that came with it was what really pulled me in. Seeing that it got them to that point and seeing the excitement that came with it. Seeing my uncles and my parents and my cousins all come and like everybody get to the house to watch the games was the thing that really pulled me all the way in.
I guess for me, like you said, it was so difficult to watch basketball back home in Austria. Like it's not on TV, it's not on anything. Like you gotta buy a league pass, you gotta stay up till 3 a.m. in the morning and like just pretty much sacrifice a whole day the next day just to be able to watch that. So like we didn't watch a lot, but then when it came to the finals, I can remember it must have been like my last like year or two in Austria, like where like I was really getting into basketball. Like I knew this was what I wanted to do. So I was like putting in the time and like it was like 3-4 of us that would get together. Like one of us would buy like the league pass stuff. Like we'd just get in the middle of the night. And I think it must've been around that time when LeBron went to Miami. So like 2012, 2013, around that time, like there's a couple of years where we, in June, like school was almost over. We'd be like, yeah, we'll stay up in the middle of the night. We'll stay up till 6 a.m. and watch some finals games. And we'd just all get together, like sit in the living room somewhere and watch the games.
It still baffles me. Like, one, our childhoods are totally different, obviously, because he's talking about LeBron. Yeah. I'm not even going to talk about it. Two, like, you're not watching basketball. Nobody plays basketball in your family. They just was like, yo, you're tall. You got too much energy to go play. And now you're in the NBA. What year is this now?
You're eight.
8 years in the NBA. Super veteran. Tremendous career so far. And I'm just trying to figure out, like, it's a special, special case, man. Like,
for sure.
It makes me appreciate you even more than I already did, though. Like, because it really shows like a love and a real appreciation for the game. Because it wasn't like it was this super big influence that it was like the game itself did this. This is not somebody that you had to follow or someone pulling your hand down the aisle. Like, you should do this, do that, do this. You'll like it. It'll get you. Like, no, you just started playing and you loved it. Like you said, one foot in the front of the other. And next thing you know, you're in pregame with Tim Duncan. Like, you know what I mean? It's amazing, man.
It's a crazy story.
Yeah.
For sure.
Pop is quoted saying, really, he's talking about you, really one of the glue factors on this team. You can always count on his consistency and what you're going to get. A hell of an accomplishment and hell of a praise from a coach who knows how what it takes to win NBA games and to have a long career in the NBA. And there's no reason why you're not going to continue for another 4, 5, 12 years, whatever you want to do, because you know your job and you do it very well. I mean, it's just really cool that you're back with the Raptors. And CJ, final word before we let Yak go.
I mean, I'm just still putting this together, man. I didn't know the whole story. Like, I'm just still – it's amazing, man. Like, you know, I got love for the big fella. So, like, just keep going, man. I love watching you, man. Keep teaching guys. Keep getting better yourself.
Got to pass those little tricks along. Appreciate you guys.
Exactly, man. Christian Coloco is there waiting for you.
For sure.
Because we know these young guys, they getting a little, you know, now you know. You know how people looked at you when you came in. Now you know the feeling. So, like, just get them straight.
All right, that's Strictly Hoops with CJ Miles and Jakob Poeltl. Rate, review, subscribe, and do all that fun stuff on every platform you take in this content. We'll see you, Yak. Thank you.
See you. Appreciate you guys.
What's it like to see the moment, to feel yourself growing? This is greatness that I'm showing. Close your eyes, I'm still glowing. Close the door, I'm still going. This is grand business. Have a seat and be a witness. Hey, what's it like?
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Ando.
And I'm Fer.
And we host Niñas Bien Podcast.
We want to invite you to listen to our show.
Niñas Bien means good girls in Spanish. But you have to know that this is not a podcast for good girls.
Or for girls at all. It is a comedy podcast. So everyone is welcome to listen.
We talk about sex, relationships, technology.
We recommend movies and TV shows and discuss pop culture in general.
And there is chisme ajeno too.
A section we have just to gossip about everyone. So you'll find something you like here.
And you'll practice your Spanish.
The cleanest Spanish you'll find, we promise.
And if you already hablas español,
vamos a ser tus nuevas amigas. We'll be your friends for the non-Spanish speakers.
New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Hosted by Acast and available to all audio platforms.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.